You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And with a reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, we get so many different questions in so many different ways. I want to start today with an email question from a man named George. And he asked me this question: did Christianity simply steal the virgin birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus from ancient pagan mystery religions? Well, my first and perhaps rather uncharitable response to this question is that it posits a ridiculous proposition. But nonetheless, it deserves to be answered. And I say that first and foremost because, as a proposition, it has become catastrophically popular in the broader post-Christian culture. Consider, for a moment, Dan Brown. He, of course, is the author of the wildly popular bestseller, The Da Vinci Code. And if he were asked to answer George's question, he would, without equivocation, pontificate that everything from Christ's virgin birth right up to his resurrection was taken directly from earlier pagan mystery religions, and that nothing in Christianity is original, that it's all a great big ripoff. And Brown is hardly unique. In recent decades, there have been lots of books and motion pictures and TV specials in which Jesus and the true origins of Christianity are made barely recognizable. In a book I co-authored with historian Paul Meyer, we called this the Jesus Game. And that game has been played ever since the pagan philosopher Celsus first articulated the narrative 100 or so years following the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. And it's been played with great enthusiasm ever since. And that's particularly true in the present generation, and for good reason. Not only are post-truth people increasingly historically illiterate, but the internet provides unfettered access to unvetted ideas that multitudes are swallowing like fast food junkies. One such fast food offering was offered up by Nobel laureate William Butler Yeats, one of the foremost figures of 20th century literature. In Irish brogue, he proffered up the absurd notion that the virgin birth of Christ directly parallels the Greek mythology of Leda and the swan. As Zeus, having taken on the form of a swan, had intercourse with the virgin Leda, so the spirit overshadowed Mary in the form of a dove. In both scenes, divinities, by impregnating mortal women, intervene in and transform cultural history. As such, you have a bunch of nonsense, what St. Peter characterized as cleverly devised stories. In fact, the mystery religions are so named precisely because they revel in hype and emotionalism, but not so the New Testament authors. In sharp distinction, they passed along evidential history. For example, in 1 Corinthians 15, St. Paul reiterates a Christian creed that can be traced all the way back to the formative stages of the early Christian church. Scholars of all stripes have concluded that this very creed, the creed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, can be dated to within mere months of Messiah's murder. Now, the short time span between Christ's crucifixion and the composition of this early creed preclude the possibility of corruption in the form of legend. Moreover, liberals have the chronology all wrong. I say that because most mystery religions flourished long after the death of the apostles, and thus it would be far more accurate to say that the mysteries were influenced by Christianity than the other way around. Not only so, but to reject the virgin birth of Christ because it is out of step with materialist propositions is hardly enlightened. Miracles are not only possible, but they're necessary in order to make sense of the universe. Because according to modern science, the universe not only had a beginning, it is unfathomably fine-tuned to support life. And besides that, the origin of life, information in the genetic code, irreducible complexity in biological systems, and the phenomenon of the human mind pose intractable difficulties for merely natural explanations. And by the way, that's why I selected three resources this month that you can find for your support on the web at equip.org. All of this to say that reason forces us to look beyond the natural world to a supernatural designer, a designer who miraculously intervenes in the affairs of his created handiwork. So while many issues surrounding the miraculous birth of Christ, issues such as the precise modes of interaction between Christ's divine nature and his human nature transcend human understanding, the doctrine of Christ's incarnation does not transgress the laws of logic. And to understand the logical coherence of incarnation, you have to first consider human beings as icons of God, because God created humanity in his own image. The essential properties of human nature are not inconsistent with his divine nature. And thus, while the notion of Zeus becoming a swan is self-evidently absurd, the reality that God became man is not. George's question turns out to be a very important question, in that it's a sober reminder that those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips must be equipped not only to counter the mythology of fabricators like Brown and Yeats, but must also be familiar with their own sacred historical realities. Historical realities such as those codified in Christian creeds, particularly those affirmed and articulated by the ancient ecumenical council of Nicaea and Constantinople, namely that Christ came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man, that he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate and suffered and was buried, and that he rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. Those affirmations didn't arise out of thin air. They were delivered through sacred tradition, the very holy traditions that gave us Scripture itself. Traditions that were passed from the apostles to the apostolic fathers, to every Eucharistic assembly. And that is throughout the world, both past and present. Bottom line here, George's question turns out to be a sober reminder that as we encounter skepticism respecting the miraculous nature of Christ coming in flesh, we have the awesome responsibility to provide well-reasoned answers, and then to use our answers as springboards or opportunities to communicate the faith once for all, delivered to the saints. Good question. By email from George. We're going to be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions. And as we go to break, I want to once again thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. The resources available for those who support us this month are simply fabulous. Check them out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of the show, so please don't touch that dial.
In his book, God's Undertaker Has Science Buried Truth, eminent scientist and mathematician John Lennox notes, God is an alternative to science as an explanation. He is not to be understood merely as a God of the gaps. On the contrary, he is the ground of all explanation, scientific or otherwise. Yet more than merely being the ground of all explanation, or even the ground of all being, for Christians, God is the King of creation. And it is that theme that is captured in an amazing collection of meditations set to film and cherished hymns that we would love for you to have. More than just something that will bless and inspire you and your loved ones, this King of Creation DVD would likely warm hearts of hardened atheists. To receive your copy of this soul-stirring production, simply call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support our work of equipping Christians to courageously defend life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank will be back after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go to the phone lines. Ryan in Las Vegas, Nevada, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. My question, I have concerns about the way my daughters are dressing. I was wondering if where you can tell me some guidelines in the Bible on how women should dress.
Yeah, I mean, the guidelines given to us by the scriptures are that women ought to dress modestly. And I think that's the basic presiding principle of scripture. And I think this is true for men as well. We should not flaunt wealth. The wealth that God has given us ought to be used for the restoration of those who have needs. But as far as women are concerned, modesty is the operative word.
Okay, well, that's what I was wondering. These wearing yoga pants and stuff like that seem to be not modest to me.
Yeah, well, let me go off on a little tangent with this, because you mentioned pants. The Bible does not forbid women from wearing pants. And I think what the Bible says in this regard is oftentimes misunderstood. Oftentimes, Deuteronomy 22:5 is cited, but this passage of Scripture is a prohibition not against women wearing pants, but against the practice of purposefully dressing as the opposite sex. And so what you have in the Septuagint is that a woman shall not wear a man's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, but all who do that are an abomination to the Lord your God. Well, that's pretty clear. And at the time that the law was given, the clothes of Hebrew men and Hebrew women were actually quite similar. Both of them wore tunics and cloaks, and the difference was essentially the embroidery and design. So the concern of the commandment, and that's what's important in this discussion, is to preserve the natural dignity and distinction of the sexes. And that is an enduring universal moral principle. It's a principle that's incumbent on all people at all times. In fact, in his teaching on marriage, our Lord Jesus Christ himself reminds us that at the beginning, God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. So men and women equally bear the image of God, and each sex is distinct and is to be honored within their common unity as human persons. So a man must not attempt to become a woman, and a woman must not attempt to become a man. In fact, it's not actually possible for one sex to become the opposite anyway. Any attempt to physically change one's biological sex is an exercise in delusion and in futility. The continuation of the human race absolutely depends on the natural distinction between the sexes. And same-sex unions are abjectly incapable of uniting complementary organs and body systems that are designed for the bearing and the rearing of children. So again, the point of the passage in Deuteronomy, the passage that I just pointed to, is to maintain the distinction and dignity of the individual sexes. And by the way, some have misconstrued the Apostle Paul's declaration in Galatians chapter 3 that there's neither male nor female. But this has to do with equal standing in Christ. It has no bearing on the intended creational distinction between the sexes. The bottom line, in the context of our day, women can wear pants and be in perfect accord with their female gender. And to claim that, in principle, women cannot wear pants, especially when there are abundant pant styles that are distinctly feminine, is unwarranted. So again, dress modestly, and yes, that does not mean that women cannot wear pants.
Yeah, Yeah, I understood the pants part. I just, women's clothes are more revealing than others, and you just use your distinction on modesty, I guess.
Yep, absolutely.
All righty, thank you.
You got it, Ryan. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this correct, Arash in Fort Worth, Texas, listening on the web.
Hi.
Did I butcher your name or get it right?
Yes, you nailed it, Arash. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And excuse the rather personal nature of this question. I'm a recent convert, and as I'm growing into faith and trying to spend time within the Christian community and with the Word of God, you know, when I read the Gospels, my heart's on fire. When I read the Church Fathers, it certainly strengthens my faith. When I read the Pauline Corpus, and this might be entirely personal, and I should be careful how to say this, but yeah, I'm either bewildered or, you know, I'm not reading it perhaps prayerfully enough, but it's just, I have trouble getting into it, I have trouble understanding it, I have trouble reading it prayerfully, and the commentaries that I go to, you know, send me on other chasers, so I just was wondering if you had any recommendation for getting into the Pauline Corpus in a more fruitful way.
You know, one of the resources that has been extraordinarily helpful to me is the Orthodox Study Bible. The study notes in the Orthodox Study Bible, I think, are among the most helpful I've ever seen in any of the study Bibles. So that might be very, very significant. And those Orthodox Study Bibles are available. You can go to the web at equip.org and probably order one, or you can probably get one through Amazon, but they're fantastic. That's a fantastic resource.
Okay, thank you. And for my sake, have you encountered this before? Have you encountered folks having trouble with the Pauline letters in particular?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Paul is a person of enormous erudition writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so I think it takes a tremendous amount of work to understand what he is speaking about. But we're never left in isolation. The beauty of understanding what Paul is communicating is often passed along to us through holy tradition. Holy tradition is not separate from the Bible, but holy tradition gave us the Bible and also gave us a right manner of reading the Bible for all its substantial worth. And I know personally, as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it has been a great relief for me that when I come to passages that are very difficult to understand, I can go back to early church tradition. I can go back to the corpus of holy tradition that's passed on from the apostles to the apostolic fathers, from the apostolic fathers to the great early apologists, to the pre- and post-Nicene fathers, and then to every Eucharistic assembly, past and present. So it's handed down to us not only as the Bible, but a right interpretation of what is being communicated in the biblical text. So again, oftentimes when I struggle with interpretations, I go back to the holy traditions that have been passed down to us. And that's one of the reasons that I like the Orthodox Study Bible, is you get a lot of quotations or interpretations given to us by holy fathers like St. John Chrysostom and Basil and so forth. But yeah, I mean, even Peter says that Paul's letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, and that to their own demise. And so I think it's really important to have something that you can rely on. And as I say, holy tradition passed down to us is something that is extraordinarily helpful to us in the modern epoch.
Thank you so much, Hank, and God bless.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. You can hear from the music that we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. The resources that I talked about earlier on in the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org, or well, when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I'm so grateful for those of you who stand with this ministry consistently in a prayerful and financial fashion. It is through you that our 24/7 outreaches continue around the world. Thank you so much for allowing this voice to be heard. God bless you. Until next time.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.